This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. Well, it's freezing outside right now, and more snow is predicted this weekend. With this seemingly never-ending pattern of snow, snow, and snow, wine fans have had to turn to their favorite rich reds to get to the end of old man winter. And what would those good rich reds be? Well, here with me in the studio is our wine answer guy, our wine guru, Jonathan Alsop, founder of the Boston Wine School. Jonathan, welcome back.
Thank you, Callie. It's always so great to be here.
Oh, it's good to be here. I'm glad to be here with you,
No matter how cold it is outside.
No kidding. All right, so let's talk about what you call heart of darkness reds.
Yes. Yeah, you know, T.S. Eliot said that April is the cruelest month. April is not the cruelest month. February is the cruelest month. And let's be honest, around here, March is no great shakes either.
No kidding.
And a lot of wine lovers, you know, when it comes to the absolute heart of winter, ultimate cold weather, we start looking to big, red, inky, black, hearty, intense wines to kind of get us through this, doldrums of winter. One of the things that people ask all the time at the wine school, which I think is a fantastic question, it's the kind of question that wine experts are too smart to ask, will ask, what makes red wine red? Mm-hmm. And, you know, on the one hand, obviously red wine is made from red grapes. But the real difference between red and white wine is that red wine is fermented with its skins, and white wine almost never is. So the red juice, the black skins, all of that material, that's really what makes red wine red. And one of the things that the skin of a grape does is to protect the seed from solar radiation and possible mutation or sun damage or whatever. So grapes actually can react to how much sun and how much heat they receive. If it's really sunny,
or how little,
or how little.
Right.
In general, you know, when you get a lot of sun, a lot of solar radiation, what will happen to black grapes is that they will create a blacker skin and a thicker skin, so that you get a blacker, inkier, more intense wine. And I know it's a little bit of a reach to say this, but when we're tasting these really intense, you know, red wines for winter, what we're tasting is the presence of summer. Mm. You know, it's that sun, it's that heat that happened 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 summers ago that is carried through in the bottle and really brings us this intense red wine, which we love this time of year much.
And we love it because they're the perfect accompaniment to the heartier stews and chilies that we might make to just to enjoy inside while it's snowing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I have a few favorites, and I'm interested in your favorite. So what's your favorite?
What's my favorite? Well, should we talk a little bit about what I brought for us to taste?
Yes, this is quite tasty.
So this is from South America. This is from Chile. Mm-hmm. And this is a winery called Viu Manent. Viu, V-I-U, and Manent, M-A-N-E-N-T. That's the name of the winery, Viu Manent. Mm-hmm. And this is a Malbec. And most of the time when people think about Malbec, they think about Argentina. Yeah.
Right.
They think about a relatively, stony, kind of dense wine. Well, this is a Malbec from Chile. Mm. And this isn't just their regular Malbec, or they also make a Malbec Reserva. Mm-hmm. This is their Gran Reserva.
Oh, so this is super special.
So this is the top of their of their line. Another spectacular thing about this is that the entry-level Malbec from Viu Manent, $8.99. Mm-hmm. The Reserva, $10.99.
We're loving it.
The Gran Reserva, $12.99.
Love it.
I mean, you're buying from the absolute top of the food chain in Chilean wine for $12 and $13.
Now, so Jonathan, when we talk about wine and richness, you know, often, particularly with red wine, we're talking about weight of wine. And Malbecs I've always thought to be on the lighter end because Malbecs have been described as the red wine that white wine drinkers love.
Yes. I'll tell you, people are absolutely crazy about Malbec. And for me, if we can talk about wine in musical terms, for me, Malbec is very bass, like very bass, very low frequency. The flavors can be very strong, but just like low frequency sounds, they just don't sound as loud. So these low frequency, these earthy sort of subterranean flavors, they're very strong, but at the same time, they're very subtle. You know, they don't come through like if you think of a Pinot Grigio, how citrusy and crisp and zippy a Pinot Grigio is, that's like a high frequency kind of flavor, and that comes right through to you. And so Malbec is always sort of subtle. You know, it's not just right there. It's not right there. You just kind of have to. You kind of have to dig a little bit to really get to those flavors.
All right, so we know that Malbec is one of your favorites. Excuse me, what's another?
Another grape. I mean, one of my favorite grapes, and that I've loved many different versions of it, is red Zinfandel. Mm-hmm. Red Zinfandel.
That's the only kind, by the way. But continue.
Zinfandel is a red grape. They also make a rosé of Zinfandel or a white Zinfandel, which is a sweet rosé of Zinfandel. I'm talking about the red, the red Zinfandel. And this is a grape that originally comes from southern Italy. So it's really used to growing in extremely sunny environments, very sunny, very hot. And I'll tell you, it's hard to describe how it happens, but it's the kind of wine. Red Zinfandel really, really to me communicates summer. It's very sunny. It's very bright. It's very warm. I mean, you know, here we are in the dead of winter. You crack open a delicious Edmeads Zinfandel is fantastic. Pedroncelli Zinfandel, fantastic. Even the Klein Zinfandels, which are maybe in the $10, $11, $12 range, very, very good. Very summery, very juicy, very ripe, and just really, to me, really take me back to summer, take me back to barbecuing and grilling and picnicking and all of that.
Well, a lot of people use Zinfandel or match it with barbecue, so that's one of the reasons.
Yes.
The other thing is that I love Zinfandel. It's one of my very favorites overall. California at one point almost made it their state wine or its state wine because it's so popular there. So it's moved to other places, as you say, in the rest of the world, including California. One of my favorites in the wintertime is Primitivo, which is, as you know, Zinfandel's cousin.
Primitivo is the Italian name for Zinfandel. Genetically, they are identical.
That's right. So, they're related.
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of having an adventure, you know, if you're already a Zinfandel lover, well, like, where do you go from there? And one place you can go is to go back to Zinfandel's roots. To southern Italy and try some southern Italian Primitivo. There's also some really interesting Zinfandel from South Africa from a winery called Kanonkop, K-A-N-O-N-K-O-P, Kanonkop. And they grow, oddly enough, Zinfandel that is really, really, I mean, it's a great adventure in what Zinfandel can be around the world as well.
And as we know, for people who don't know, South African wines are a huge bargain.
Oh, yes.
Even with the markup here, they're still very good. And they've been winning. South Africa's coming into its own as a place for wine and winning all kinds of awards. And it's also the place where one of my other favorites has grown that you detest, and that is Pinotage.
Well, you know, Callie, I was just going to move into Pinotage is the name of a grape, and it's grown almost exclusively in South Africa. And I know you've been very disappointed in my inability to fall totally in love with Pinotage. But I've got to tell you, I have been drinking a new Pinotage now that I am really,
okay,
really
let's hear
enjoying.
The one that you like.
Okay, Ken Forrester.
Oh, Ken Forrester. I like Cotton Cups.
Ken Forrester.
Okay.
Petite.
Okay.
Pinotage.
All righty.
$11, $12. Very nice, very juicy. They kind of played down that crazy first sip out of a garden hose on a summer day flavor that I've had a hard time wrapping my mind around. But yeah, Pinotage. You know, Pinotage, another great wintertime wine.
Absolutely.
And a lot of, you know, we talked about the Viognier from Chile. We talked, you know, about Pinotage from South Africa. Wines of the Southern Hemisphere are spectacular wintertime wines. Whether you're talking about Aussie Shiraz, mm-hmm. or Chilean Carmenere, Malbec from Argentina, Pinotage, whatever. I know the earth is not a lot closer to the sun during the Southern Hemisphere summer, but it is closer. It's closer by maybe 2 or 3%. And that makes a really big difference. The grapes of the Southern Hemisphere get 3, maybe 4% more solar radiation during their growing season. And like we were saying before, you know, the skins of grapes react to that. So typically, you know, when we start looking for wintertime wines, the Southern Hemisphere is just a natural place to look, because those wines tend to be blacker, to be inkier, to be
more summer-like.
More summer-like.
Like it, yeah.
And while we're here, you know, enduring this.
Yes.
In the Southern Hemisphere now, late February, early March, they're getting ready for harvest.
That's right.
I mean, it's late summer, early fall in the Southern Hemisphere right now. So there is that kind of natural connection that our seasons are flipped with each other.
Absolutely. I am here speaking with Jonathan Alsop, founder of the Boston Wine School and our wine guru, and we're talking about Heart of Darkness wines, getting you through the last part, we hope, of winter.
Wow.
And we're really looking at rich red wines to do that because, as Jonathan just said, so many are different varietals are now coming from the Southern Hemisphere, which makes sense. They're giving us the summer in a bottle, so to speak. So when we're inside watching others shovel, hopefully, we can be warmed up by these wines. Now, somebody's going to ask, and I'm going to get back to red in just a minute. Is there a white you would say is a winter white? You know, I'm from the South, so winter white clothing to me is phony. But anyway,
You know. well, you know what? The same sort of thoughts that we have about these intense, strong reds for winter. I mean, if you're a white wine lover, that's the direction you're going to go. You're going to go during the winter as well. When I think about some of the stronger white grapes that are really good for winter, I think about a grape called Viognier.
I love Viognier.
Viognier,
the ultimate comfort food wine.
It's great. it's very sort of oil, and in a good way, it's sort of oily and viscous. You know, instead of being watery. Like some wine will be light and watery. Viognier tends to be very dense, very, very oily, very viscous. Really, really feels like a
it has
big.
It has some body.
Huge body, and right. It just feels like a really big mouthful of wine.
And I would say to people who, you know, Chardonnay is often thought of as also a winter wine. I personally hate Chardonnay, but, you know, this is Viognier is made from the Chardonnay grape, so you can, you know, get
They're very similar.
The mood. If you like Chardonnay, you're going to love Viognier because it's a whole other thing.
Well, and in terms of white wine lovers and this whole, like, winter idea of white wine for winter, another great strategy for white wine lovers would be to look at white wines from traditionally red wine regions.
That's excellent.
So when we think about Spanish Rioja, everyone's heard of Rioja. When you think about Rioja, you think
red.
Red, absolutely. But there are also some white Riojas that are grown there. It's a grape called Viura there. So those grapes, because they're made by red winemakers and grown with red grapes, they have that red wine ethos to them.
Yes.
And so, first of all, this is a great white wine for red wine lovers. Like if you've got red wine people who think they don't like white wine,
excellent.
You want to turn them on to a white wine from a red wine place. And if you're a white wine lover who just wants to pump up the intensity of your white wine, you know, white Rioja, whites from Tuscany. You know, we think
I love those.
We think about Tuscany, overwhelmingly red grapes, and you know, I don't know, 90+% or in our perception of Chianti in Tuscany, you know, it's 100% red. Well, there's Vernaccia that is also grown in Tuscany and is a great kind of strong, intense, earthy white wine. Not really fruity, but again, with those kind of like subterranean base notes of flavor. And that's what you're looking for in
Winter. That's what you're looking for. I also like Nero Diavolo, too. That's
also,
a good one.
Again, Sicily, southern
Can't
Italy.
Lose.
You're carrying summer around with you.
And I got to say, Southern Hemisphere wines, very good on the wallet.
Yes. Yes, the exchange rate, Chile, Argentina, Australia. You know, the dollar is still relatively strong, so.
So I will be raising a glass to you this weekend, Jonathan, as I look outside and someone is hopefully shoveling for me.
As long as you're thinking about me, that's what's important.
Okay. I've been speaking with Jonathan Alsop, founder of the Boston Wine School, and we've been talking about the Heart of Darkness wines, hoping you get through the end of winter. Thank you, Jonathan, for coming in.
Thank you, Callie.
And thank you for listening to another edition of Boston Public Radio. You can find us on the web at wgbhnews.org/BPR. I'm Callie Crossley. Our show is a production of WGBH Radio. Have a great afternoon.